lay on the floor in my mother-in-law's house for 24 minutes. I practiced mindfully, lying there and attending to my body from the body as a whole, first, and then to each part of my body from the tip of my left toe to the top of my head during that time. And the purpose of this particular audio book now is to record the what happened, what it was like, so that I can feed it into my own thoughts about what a week of practicing mindfulness is like. I'm going on Wednesday, today's Monday, I'm going on Wednesday to sit with other people in a room, and I expect that we will share our experiences of what it was like to spend a week practicing mindfulness every day. The first thing to be said is that I have practiced lying for half an hour every day since the course started. So that's an achievement. I've actually managed to fit it into my life, and it hasn't been that difficult. This morning there was a difficulty because I left the CD of Jon Kabat-Zinn in Cork, and I didn't have the advantage of being able to listen to it throughout the awareness practice. I had to do it all myself. And that's why I'm doing this audiobook, really, because it's the first time I've ever tried to attend a rest in awareness for 30 minutes without the help of a CD with me. And it's hard. It's not that easy. Up until this, any time in my life that I've ever sat still and meditated, I have focused entirely on the breath. Entirely on the breath coming in and out of my, either through my lips or through my nostrils. And that has enabled me to be focused throughout the time. But this time I was practicing, yes, the breath and aware of my breathing, but I was trying to attend to individual bits of my body systematically, one by one, doing a body scan, because that's what it's called. It's called doing a body scan. And it isn't the same, at least it isn't, doesn't feel the same, and I don't understand it to be the same as simply meditating, as if, for example, I was sitting still watching a flickering flame from a candle. There was a small interruption in the flow. I'm not sure what I've just said, so I'm going to resume where I think I left off. It was difficult because there was a flood of thoughts coming through my mind. It was certainly a bit like as if there was a stream running into my head and out of my head. The difficulty was much greater than it was the first day I started practicing mindfulness in the room in East Cork, and the first day I started practicing it back at home. Maybe there was a kind of novelty effect of the first two times I did it. But certainly this morning, lying there, there was a good volume of thoughts coming to me. Some of them were thoughts about work. A lot of them were thoughts about work. One or two of them were what I would call a kind of new idea. Brand new idea that I'd never had before. Others were thoughts about what was hanging up me. I must do this, I must do that, I must do the other thing. They didn't come as strongly driven by oughts and shoulds and musts, but they did come as attractive reminders of what's in my in tray. But I kept having also an impulse to kind of go into reverie and and go into sleep, and then I would come back to the base of my body where I left off and carry on. And I had an impulse to stop after about 3 minutes, and probably again after, you know, 4 minutes and 5 minutes, because at the beginning it felt like, well, okay, I've started, that's enough now, I've had a go at it, I can give up. And the thought that came to me, which has only just come back to me now, was one of being tempted. And all the Bible story, particularly the story of paradise, the story of Genesis and Adam and Eve, and how they would have been continuously tempted by that, those apples on that tree. And it actually was like being tempted by apples on a tree, to go ahead, I'll just think a little bit more about that. Or, more importantly, and even stronger, the feeling of, you've done enough, it's time to give up. One very useful thought, I think, or significant thought, while I was lying there on the floor, was that I wasn't doing it right. Because that was then followed by another thought, which was that I was actually doing it right in the sense that I was carrying on, I was noticing the impulse to give it up, and I was noticing that I do have some kind of a tendency to judge what I'm doing, but it isn't that strong, it isn't overpowering. I can carry on acknowledging that I have just heard the thought that I'm not doing it right, but I can actually move past that, allow that to move away, and just resume the effort. Yeah, that's it. Resume the effort. Resume. It is an effort. Attention is an effort. I was paying attention. My attention was distracted. But the effort to maintain attention, it was, I'm reminded now of the phrase, to fall into awareness, but awake, to fall awake in awareness. So, and overall, now that I've done it, I think I have had the great benefit of experiencing what it's like not to have the CD. I am not dependent on the CD, and provided that I don't, you know, allow, or I don't experience, I suppose, too many critical voices in my mind telling me that without the CD I'm useless, hopeless, and I didn't actually have it that strong. But that's the type of voice that can undermine anything if you listen to it. And it's very good to have had a chance to practice letting that voice fade away like clouds being pushed along by a fair wind.